The 49ers schedule release is soon to set and happen, I believe, on this week. So we're going to find out who we playing, where we're playing, and when we're playing right here on the Wayne Breezy Show. Stick around. So bright that we shine at.
Whiskey on the rocks and a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop, sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop, we be banging through your speakers.
Wayne Breezy on the fielder in the bleachers.
You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the 49 preacher.
So happy Monday, 49er faithful. Hey, 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 hey. Yes, the Wayne Breezy Show is here. Start you off on your wonderful weeks. I hope everybody has a great week out there, man. Shout out to everybody in the chat one time. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to the Wayne Breezy Show. We're going to have some fun today because we're going to take a look at some of these opponents and go through the different divisions that we have to play this upcoming 2024 season. I'm excited. I don't know. Should we do it early, super early? Kind of like record prediction here. Should we get it in right now? You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know. Maybe you guys could participate in that. But guys, thank y'all so much for watching. Shout out to everybody out there, the Breezy Bunch crew. You guys are definitely in the building early. Shout out to my brother Colin, man. 12 months. Last time I checked, that's a whole full year for being a member of the Breezy Bunch crew, man. I just wanted to salute you and show you some love out there. And to all the other members out there, Nick Nice is in the building. I see 49ers Throwback is in the building. Peachy Brown is in the building. What's going on, Peachy? Rob D, my man. 50 grand. What's going on? Manly's in the building. Shout out to all the members. I see you, Oscar. I'm excited to talk to Oscar. Can't wait to see what Oscar has to say in the chat. I see Dawn out there. She says she's at the dentist listening. Listen, you might want to turn your volume down because I don't want the dentist, you know, I don't want your dentist to get a little, you know, scared because they might hear me yell or something and they might mess up your tooth. So make sure the volume is on down, all the way low. You know what I'm saying? Rob D says, great show with Chapman and Dell today. That's right. Earlier on Johnny Dell Football Academy channel, we had a great show. We were just going over and reminiscing on some of the former 49er drafts under the Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch regime. We got up to the year 2019. Which I just feel like was the best draft under Kyle Shanahan and the John Lynch regime for the San Francisco 49ers. Hands down, had to be the best draft, in my opinion. But yes, we're going to do a part two on the channel as well coming up soon. I was trying to stream it live to my channel, but for some reason, it wouldn't let me connect it. Oh, well. But you guys got a chance to watch it. And if you didn't, go check it out on Johnny Dell Football Academy channel. It's a great episode. It was good to be with John and Johnny at the same time. But doing a 49er show with those guys was always fun. Always fun. So thank you for that. Miss Sin is in the building. What's going on? She says, hey, Breezy. I hope you're doing I hope you're doing very well, actually. I haven't seen you since the last game we attended, and I hope you're doing good out there in them streets. Oscar says, word is released maybe tomorrow. I believe it's going to be this Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, Oscar. That was the word that I got from the big bird. So this Thursday, May 9th, probably around 7, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, should be the NFL schedule release. So get ready for all the rumors to go around. We're going to pick out some of the primetime games. I'm curious to know how many primetime games you think the 49ers are going to get and things like that. So we'll have some fun on today's episode. Jax Knox is in the building, 17-0. I said record predictions, and 17-0 is the first thing that popped up in the chat. I ain't mad at you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you the air horns for that one. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we're going to start right over. 17-0, right off the bat. All right. Listen, we'll get to some predictions a little bit later in the show. Guys, if this is your first time watching, make sure you hit that like button. Also, feel free to subscribe to the channel. I got all kind of good old sports content. We started the Celtics Breeze, Celtics Green podcast with my boy Clifton P. Powell, a.k.a. Triple OG. That's fun. So we're going to be bringing you some NBA playoff talk and things like that. So make sure you subscribe to the channel as well as your 49er stuff as well. I just didn't want to limit myself, and I like basketball. I like baseball too. And let's go Bruins for hockey, all right? So let's just have some fun with it right here on the Wayne Breezy channel. But make sure you guys are subscribed to, your alerts are set to all, okay? So that you don't miss out on an episode. There's uploads, there's live feeds, there's shorts. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on the Wayne Breezy channel. And I'm working on the website and updating the website so that could be more interactive as well. So stay tuned for all the stuff that we got coming for this next upcoming season. Nitty Gritty Niners will be back as well once we get into the next season, football season. We kick off some stuff with that. That crew will be back better and stronger than ever. And we got more fun shows as far as NFL shows, maybe bring the fantasy show back. You'll see. There's a lot of stuff going here on the channel. You know what I'm saying? Tanisha, what's going on? Good morning to you as well. Don't bother me. Says Niners will lead the league with 6 primetime games. Oh, sugar snaps. That's what I'm talking about. And Miss Debbie says, good morning, Wayne. Blessings to everyone in the chat. Hit that like button, y'all, with the hashtag BB. Guys, don't forget the hashtag the BB as well, man. You know what it does for the algorithm of the show. It's super important. And Lakers, in 7, I don't know if I should highlight that, you know, I don't know what that means when you said Celtics and then whatever, but you know, I don't know if that's a shot or a stab or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that is. But yeah, anyway, we'll have some fun. Anyways. All right, guys, just some upcoming dates for the San Francisco 49ers. Not too much going on, but this is going to be a great week, right? Because the rookies report to camp on May 9th, which is this Thursday, which I believe is the release of the schedule. And then they begin practicing Friday and Saturday. So rookie mini camp begins on Friday and Saturday. So later on this week on the Wayne Breezy Show, we're going to be doing a preview to the rookie mini camp and which rookies that we feel like are going to stand out. We'll have some fun on that episode as well. A lot of rookies, a lot of undrafted guys as well. What do we draft? 8 players. We got and then we signed 8 undrafted players. So we got a total of 16. And then they invited like another 10 players to the rookie mini camp. I'm just guessing 10. I feel like it's 10. Got to check my list. But they got a lot of other players that they're going to have come into rookie mini camp and get a workout or so forth in. So the San Francisco 49ers are going to be looking to see how these players, how these rookies adapt well to that first install. You know, not much going on in rookie minicamp. You want no hitting, things like that. But they will be looking to install and probably condition one day and get some plays the next day and see how well they run these plays. See, would give these rookies kind of like a jump start on 49er, you know, talk. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of reports coming out. I'll do my best to give you guys, you know, quickly what's going on. I won't be attending rookie minicamp or training camp this year, but I will be having my ear to them screets. So definitely make sure you know your alerts are set to all, because I will be posting just about on every social media platform out there. All right. So rookie minicamp begins this Friday and Saturday. They will be out there practicing, so that's going to be fun. And you know, let's take a look at this schedule, because you know, I'm looking at the 49ers and I'm saying to myself, I mean, you know, looking at the schedule, you know what, y'all started the damn predictions. I tell you what, we're gonna look at the schedule together. Don't put your prediction in there yet. Let's look at the schedule and then let's go with your record predictions for this season. I know Jack says 17-0. We're going to all look at the schedule again. I'm going to post it. We're going to look at it. You know, you saw it at the very beginning of the show. We're going to look at it again. All right. So record predictions. We're going to do early record predictions. You know, this is while the 92-man roster is set. We'll talk about that. This is 92 players on the roster. Maybe we'll go through the roster as well. But I definitely want to focus on who we playing. I don't know when we're going to play these games. I don't know when they're coming on TV. I don't know the schedule. We don't have that release. But early record predictions. Let's have some fun with this, guys. Post our record predictions in the chat. Here's the picture again. Okay, so you could see, you know, the Niners, you know, they got what, 9 games at home and 8 games on the road. That's the way it's looking, and that's the way it's going to be cooking this year. All right. Now, you know, we got to play our rivals, the NFC West. So we got the Cardinals, you got the Rams, you got the Seahawks at home and away. So you see them twice a season. All right. Before you give me, like, do the Niners go undefeated? Real quickly, do the Niners go undefeated in the NFC West? Do the Niners go 6-0 and the NFC West. I want to get y'all thoughts on that. Do the Niners go 6-0? Don't bother me. Already said 5-1. Manny says 14-3. Feel free to add to that. And I know the dates play a role because now we got a factor. That's why I said this is early. And then when we get the real record, the real schedule, we'll do an official. Feel me? This is a preliminary record prediction. And then we'll do the official one after the schedule's released. Because you got to factor in travel, weather, all that good stuff. Like, you know, shout out to my fantasy football players out there, too. You know, you guys be paying attention. I see you, Kali. I know it. I'm on you. I'm on it. 14-3. Man, I want to know what your NFC West record prediction is going to be as well. Nick Knight says 7-10. Now, I'm curious to know. Seven games? I don't think this team, the only way I see this team, in my opinion, winning seven games is if there's an injury to the quarterback position. Now, I'm not speaking that into an existence. I'm just saying that's the only way I think the 49ers win seven games. Other than that, I feel like they have the blueprint to keep at that minimum 11 game wins. Max, I say 15. Minimum 11, max 15. I feel like, you know, that's where I'm going. Don't forget to participate in the poll question. I want to know which division that we play. And I did leave the NFC South off. We play one game against the AFC West, one game against the NFC South. So we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then we got the Kansas City Chiefs. But that's why I put the Chiefs up there, because I feel like people might feel like that game is going to be difficult. Tobias England says 5-1 in the division. All right. So Snoopy says 16-1. So that means, is that one loss a divisional loss? I'm just curious to know. They're not easy to win. A lot of people feel like we could sweep the division. They're not easy to win. I'm just curious to know, Cousin Snoop, is that one win against a divisional team? Miss Sen says 5-1. I love it. 5-1. don't listen. Y'all be easy on Nick Nice out there, okay? Y'all be easy on Nick Nice, all right? Y'all got to be easy on him, all right? Ty says 49ers record will be 20-0. That's everything. That's the regular season. That's the playoffs, and that's the Super Bowl, right? That's all together. All right. So yeah, I could dig it. Grizz says 12-5. All right. Shout out to Oscar putting so this is what Oscar did. So Oscar says, listen, I don't care when we play these teams, but this is who we are playing on the road. We're playing the Packers and we're playing the Bills. Those are going to be cold games. Wait, very spot on. Spot on, Oscar. And he said humid weather games will be the Dolphins and the Bucks. These are two games I'm trying to bring my behind to get out of the cold. I'm hoping that these games are in the wintertime so where I could travel south and be at least in some warm weather during the winter. That's what I'm hoping. But the way that I know that the 49ers and the NFL schedule is set up, the way that they're going to set it up is simply they're going to put the cold games during the winter. So Buffalo, I'm ready for that. I feel like it's going to be a Monday night game. That's a primetime game. You could book it. I think the Dolphins might be a Sunday night game. That's a primetime game. You could book it. I feel like those two teams are going to be primetime games. That's just my, prediction. You know what I'm saying? Nick says he's being a realist. We also talking about Kyle. I don't see 7-10 anymore. I only see 7-10 again. There's a bunch of reasons why. You know, and you know what? You stated your purpose in the chat. Shout out to you. You know, a lot of people feel like the same old line. Okay. All right. Cool. So let's talk about the offensive line a little bit while we'll go back and look at the schedule and stuff like that. But when you look at the offensive line, yeah, they brought back the same dudes. They re-signed John Feliciano, Colton McKivitz out there. Colton McKivitz at the right tackle, first season playing right tackle, was the weakest link. I really think though, my theory behind watching Colton McKivitz and breaking down the film, I thought he had better games than the guard spot. So even though the guard didn't grade as low due to you changing out the guards between Spencer Burford and, John Feliciano, Spencer Burford had a lower grade too. and he played worse on film. So if you watch Spencer Burford, he wasn't good last year. I thought that McKivitz probably overcompensated a lot on that offensive line. So his first year was bad at the right tackle spot. Now, I'm not saying that he's not going to be he's going to be bad this year. It's a possibility he gets better, right? You got to leave that little bit of hope out there that he can improve, especially if Kyle is consistent at who he's putting at that right guard. Now, the Niners drafted a guard, okay? They drafted a guard. They drafted a guard, in my opinion, that could come in day one and actually win. And I was talking to Johnny Dell and John Chapman earlier, and we were talking about it, and when I was at the Senior Bowl and I was watching Dominic Puni, I thought he did struggle at the tackle spot. And it was who they were putting on him outside. And they were putting, like, defensive tackles on him, like, trying to get around him on the outside, like, opposed to, like, a regular edge rusher, which I think he might have fared well, a little bit better against. But once they switched him to guard day two, day three of the Senior Bowl practice, that dude was he was a machine. Like, he couldn't be beat. Now, I don't know if he had an epiphany day one and he realized he was struggling. But they also kicked him inside. And I think this is the main reason why I think that you heard John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan come out and speak and say, you know what I'm saying? Hey, we see him as a guard right now. Right now, we see him as a guard. Now, he has to work on his footwork, especially when he's playing tackle. He has to work on that footwork. He crosses his feet a little bit too much for my liking. And he doesn't have short arms, but the full extension of the arms could be a problem. Now, I watched some film of him where, you know, it's on the Patreon. I broke down the full Illinois game, and he was phenomenal at tackle. Gave up a couple of pressures, didn't give up any sacks, gave up a couple of pressures, but still didn't give up any hits either. Like, didn't give up any quarterback hits. So, Dominic Puni could be the guy that they see or fit, and it all depends on how good his rookie minicamp is, how great he plays in OTAs, and can he beat out John Feliciano and Spencer Burford. So, that's my take on the offensive line. I don't think that the offensive line got worse. It may not have gotten better, but it didn't get worse. And when I look at the defenses, like, you could say that these defenses that we play against have gotten better because they added new pieces, but we necessarily won't know until we have to actually play them. So when I go back to the schedule, I look at Arizona, I look at LA. Man, listen, I like the Rams defense. Let me keep it a book. I like the Rams defense. But they're young guys now. There's no more Aaron Donald. So as far as game planning for a guy like Aaron Donald, you don't have to do that anymore. Now you got to deal with, I think, the Byron Youngs. You got to deal with Braden Fisk and Jarrett Verse. So now they got a different, they're younger, they're faster. But you got pretty experienced guys. I don't see any of them guys beating out Trent Williams. And I don't think they're going to be too much of a problem for Colton McKivitz on the outside. I don't think they're going to be too much of a problem for the guys on the interior, because you're bringing back the same offensive line that should have continuity. So I look at the Rams, and I don't see their defensive line being much of a threat. They did get better, but I don't see them being much of a threat. You look at Seattle. I mean, same thing. They added Byron Murphy the second. They added a weapon. They added a key piece, but I don't know if it's going to be much of a threat for the San Francisco 49ers offensive line, because that was a new piece. Will he be able to come in and learn, do what he needs to do? We don't know, but our offensive line has to see them again, Arizona, LA, and Seattle, and it's the same offensive line that was able to handle them last year, and all they did was try to add some new young talent, and we don't know if that young talent is going to pan out. So I still give the upper to the 49ers offensive line. All right, now Chicago, same thing. Detroit, now you got to start questioning yourself. Like, but I didn't think that the 49ers offensive line did bad against Detroit as far as giving up pressures. The Jets, they got a pretty furious defensive front. The Patriots, they stay with a defensive front. Kansas City, well, we already know how that pans out. And Dallas, I know ain't nobody worried about the Cowboys, right? And so at home, the Niners may lose two games. May. Two in a possible. I got two in a possible at home. I got two in a possible. I feel like they'll beat Arizona. I think the Rams is the loss. I think they beat the Seahawks. They beat the Bears. They may lose to the Lions this go round. They beat the Jets. They beat the Patriots. And I'm sorry, I don't think the 49ers could beat the Chiefs. I don't give a f- what we say. I think we lose to the Chiefs again. And then they beat the Cowboys. So at home, I got them going 6-2. Sorry, 7-2. Because they got 9 games at home. We're not losing to the damn Rams. What am I talking about? I got them going 7-2, possibly or potentially 6-3 at home. That's 3 losses right there. Okay? Possibly. Now, on the road, you know, where I feel like to me, the Niners just play better on the road. I think the 49ers have this continuity where they just, like, they're a band of brothers, and on the road, they just find a way to come together. Now, last year, they struggled against the AFC South. They're not playing the AFC South this year. They're playing the AFC East. And the Niners play pretty damn well on the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? They play pretty well on the East Coast, in my opinion, especially in great weather. Like, right? So when I go back and I look at the schedule, I think they sweep the Cardinals. They may lose on the road to the Rams. Amen. I don't think they lose in the Rams. I'm not giving the Rams a one up. I'm just not. The only reason why the Rams lost last game and the last game of the season is the simple fact that we ain't playing any starters. And they got the dub. I think they sweep Seattle, new coaching, sweep them, out of books. On the road, they may struggle in Green Bay. Will the Niners lose in Minnesota again? I think they beat Miami. I don't think Kyle Shanahan losing that game. I don't give a freak how many weapons they add. Buffalo is the question mark on these road games, and I think they handle Tampa Bay. So, on the road, I think they lose. Oh, shoot. I think they lose 2 games on the road. So, on the road, I think they go 6-2. So, even if I go 6-3 at home, 6-2 on the road, that's 12-5. That sounds like my early record prediction for the 49ers. 12-5 is my early record prediction for the 49ers. I think they lose in Green Bay. And I think they lose in Buffalo. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know what you guys think. All right. Turbo with Super Chat contribution. Turbo97777 says, how confident are you in moving Puni to right tackle? Go Niners. It's an excellent question, right? I don't know if I'm confident right now. I don't know if I'm confident because I watched him at the Senior Bowl have to deal with the top tier talent. And I thought he struggled at the tackle position. But when they kicked him to guard or center on that left side, he was dominant. So from what I seen, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the reason why I like to use the Senior Bowl stuff is because he literally was going up against the best of the best. One of my favorite movies, too, by the way. Part 2 was cool, too. But he was literally going up against the cream of the crop. Whereas in college, he didn't always have to play the cream of the crop, right? Like, in college, he pretty much, you know, he handled Jerzon Newton on that play in the Illinois game. He was pretty much handling the guys on the outside. That's my opinion. So I don't think I see him even playing tackle for the 49ers. But he does have the ability to play tackle for the 49ers. You get what I'm saying? But I don't think they're going to kick him into right tackle, man. I think the Niners, due to where they were drafting, I don't think tackle was what they were looking. I think they're solid on the tackle position with Colt McKivitz being the guy to go. And I think there's a possibility that in free agency next year, where they have some money, they may look to address the tackle position. Not even the right tackle, but the guy that can come in. And God forbid, you know, Trent Williams doesn't want to play another year. I think that's where they look to address it. Because let's keep it a buck. If the 49ers continue to play well and win, they're not going to be drafting early, and they're never going to get the ability to draft that top-tier tackle. It's not going to happen. They won't even be able to trade up to do it. So they're going to have to figure out how to supplement that in free agency, right? You know what I'm saying? They won't be able to build the trenches anymore from, you know, as far as getting one of the top tackles that you always try to get. You got to get them early in the draft. And you and the Niners look for the players that are, have some type of versatility. That's hard to come by. They want players that can play inside, that could play tackle, that could play guard, right? They look for that little bit of versatility key, and they also look for the athleticism. And we broke that down. Like, the 49ers value for their offensive linemen, they got to have three traits, I think, that stick out as far as their testing. Their 10-yard split, their shuttle, right, and their three cone. Like, those are the three measurements Kyle Shanahan is looking for in his tackles. And so you might not find that in the top-tier talent. You know, you're hoping you do, but the Niners have a certain fit that they look for when it comes to the tackles. So Turbo 9777, he says, how confident am I? I'm not. I don't think that the Niners are even looking to move Pooney into the tackle spot. Now, God forbid there's some type of injury and they need him to play tackle. That's a possibility. You know what I'm saying? It's a possibility. So as far as the, you know, the record that I'm predicting, I think that the San Francisco 49ers have the ability to win, for me, minimum of 12 games. I know I said minimum should be 11, but that's a standard minimum. I think a standard minimum is 11. But I think the max that you'll see the 49ers probably win is 15, just because of the way Kyle values football. Like, he, you know, it's going to come down to where, you know, he just don't care about certain games. And you can see it. It's in his play calling. Like, last year, you go back and look at last year's schedule. He didn't care about the Minnesota. I mean, he wanted to win these games, but you could tell, like, the Minnesota game, the games against the AFC South, like, he wasn't going all in on his bag. And so you might get the same thing against the AFC East. You know, you got to play Buffalo on the road. You got to play Miami on the road. You got the Patriots. You got the Jets at home. I don't expect the Jets to come in with a new quarterback or even with Jacoby Brissett and beat the San Francisco 49ers, not at home. And I'm not expecting Kyle Shanahan to lose to Robert Saleh ever. Ever. 13-4 from a bro Oscar. Yeah, I mean, I would like 13-4. Like, you know what I mean? I would definitely like that. You know what I'm saying? I got to get this picture. Send me that picture, dog. I'm not on the internet right now. I'm doing this live show. So if you got that picture, send me that. But yeah, this is what you want. So when I looked at the Ricky Pearso pick, when I started breaking down this film, you could catch that on the Patreon. Check out the patreon.com/TheWayneBreezy, man, for some of these breakdowns. I'm going to be doing two more this week. I did Pearso and I did Puni last week. So this week I'm going to look to do a couple of more players. I think Pearsall is a workaholic. Okay. I'm sorry. We played the AFC North last year. Did I say South? I meant the North. We played the North. My bad. We played the East this year. My fault, Strawberry. But when I look at Pearsall, like, I, for one, they get a, you want a tough player? You want a gritty player? He's the one. Right, you want a guy that has good catch in traffic, a great catch radius. He's the one, and if he's working out with Debo, that's what you want, right? You know, you want to know how the greats continue to stay great or continue to stay elite. And I don't care what people say about Debo; he's an elite wide receiver in the NFL. And if he wasn't, he wouldn't be so highly sought after. Like, people want him, but the price tag is high, right? And the Niners wanted him too. That's why they paid him. So this could be interesting. I would love to see them working out together. I think it's going to be a good look. Good to see Brandon Ayuk working out as well, training, getting his body right, going through the drills, working out. It's good to see that because he's going to be a 49er for the next several years. I don't care what anybody says. Like, it's common sense. And so it's really good to see these players doing their thing. You know what I mean? At some point, man, and I know it's difficult, though, I would love to see all the damn wide receivers work out together. I just want to see all 11 get on the football field, find them a quarterback, preferably Brock, and throw them some damn passes and run some routes. I would love to see that, but I know it's hard. Everybody's is still trained. They train where they want. You know what I'm saying? They're not all in the same area, you know. They're not in the same area. But again, you know, when you're looking at what the 49ers did, they, in this particular draft, and I can't stop reiterating it, though, but they addressed scheme. They addressed fits. You know, I made this analogy earlier on the Johnny Dell Football Academy show, and I don't know how much this might make sense to you, but it makes perfect sense to me. Look, I like to wear suits, and I think the only time I was fitted for a suit probably was my wedding, right? And so ain't nothing like having a fitted suit opposed to buying a suit off the rack and wearing it. And I think the way that the Niners used to draft was just getting the players, best players available, best whatever, right? Right off the rack, getting them in here. It might fit a little loose, might fit a little tight, but it ain't going to fit just right. But I think the way that the Niners are able to attack the draft now, because they've built a roster, they've built a machine, a winning machine on top of that. I mean, you got to remember, the Niners are competing and contesting every single season, just about. As long as they stay healthy, they're a team in contention for the title, for the Super Bowl. Now, when they go to the draft, yes, they look to get the best players, but they're getting the best fit players. You got to add that word fit, F-I-T, say it with me, fit. They're looking to get the best fit players. So when you add a Ricky Pearsall, you're saying to myself, oh my gosh, like, why him? When Adonai Mitchell is on the board, because Adonai Mitchell might have been a better wide receiver, or why him and Ladd McConkey is on the board? McConkey might have been a better wide receiver. But when you look at fit and what Kyle Shanahan values at his wide receiver position, it has to, you have to come out of your emotions and your feelings. You have to say to yourself, okay, Ricky Pearsall is a dog. That's the first number one thing that Kyle Shanahan is looking for. Are you a dog? Are you mean? Can you block? Yeah, that's Ricky Pearsall. Check that off the box. And then you go back and you look and say, well, how are your hands? The cat had like 2 drops. 6, I think, total in his collegiate career. He played 5 years in college. 6 drops. Well, that lets me know he holds on to the damn ball. And then when you watch the film and you say, what does he struggle in? All right, beating press man might be his weakness. That's where that route running, his first quick steps, and all those things may come into like play as he continues to grow. And he's going to be playing in a Kyle Shanahan system. Listen, Kyle Shanahan doesn't probably even allow defenses to play press man, because if you do, Brock going to dice you up with other guys. So, yeah, you could play press on him if you want to, be my guess. Somebody got to be playing off. They're going to play press on both sides. If so, Kyle's going to eat over the middle of the field. Brock's going to eat, over the middle of the field. So, George Kittle day. Christian McCaffrey out of backfield day. Like, it's so many different looks that Kyle Shanahan's going to be able to utilize. So, fit pieces. Dominic Puny, fit piece. Fit piece. Athletic offensive lineman out of college with a mean streak. Fit piece. I kept saying that we needed to go mean, and we did. We got a mean guy. It wasn't the Christian Haynes. It wasn't the Christian Mahoganys. It wasn't Mason McCormick mean, because Kyle also wanted versatility. I don't know how I could forget that. Kyle wants versatility. So that's what he got. When you look at the Renardo Green piece, like, you go back and you look at Renardo Green. He said, I gotta talk about this. When you go back and you look at the Renardo Green piece, I'm saying to myself, okay, because there were some dogs still available at the wide receiver position. But you guys remember, I started doing shows and I started saying, you know, even with Mike, we started saying, listen, we're not going to go with these guys because they're too tall. 6'2 and above ain't what we want. Then we started owning in on the Max Meltons and those type of guys. Max Melton's like 5'11". We started owning in on the 5'11 DBs to the 6'1 DBs. That was the range. Then it was like, are they physical? You have to add in that factor because they got to be like dogs. How well do they tackle? That's also important. And are they getting PBUs? Are they allowing the wide receivers to complete passes? we look for interceptions and picks. Yeah, if you could get that, man, that's a bonus. But it's always the PBUs. You always want the play breakups, right? The pass breakups. You want that. The incomplete passes, God dang it. That's what you're looking for. That's what Kyle's looking for. And Renardo Green, not only did he run a decent fast 40, 4-4 guy, not only did he do that, I mean, look at, he's able to play press man. He's able to play off man, like a little bit off coverage, a little soft coverage. And then when he gets there, he's able to make the tackle. I think that, to me, is spot on for a Kyle Shanahan fit piece. So that's funny to me. So them first three pieces were all fit pieces, and we'll talk about some of the other ones a little bit later. But Ty says, did I wear the chopper suits? Yo, remember I was wearing the boxy suits, you know what I'm saying, with the shoulder pads, and it made you look like a linebacker. Those joints, you see that commercial that's out with Carmelo Anthony and Kendrick Perkins, those suits, I never wore zoot suits. I didn't like those. I didn't like the baggy ass pants. I didn't like the zoot suits. But definitely the chopper suits. That is funny, man. That is funny. But I'm telling you, you get yourself a fitted suit, man. You get yourself a fitted suit, woo, man. It make you feel like a million bucks. Like, you know what I'm saying? It made you feel like a million bucks. If you didn't have a suit with the boxy shoulders, yo, you wasn't living, because it was all about making the broad shoulders kind of stand up like that. So you walked into an event, or me, I walked into church looking like a linebacker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Looking like a linebacker. So that was the zoo game. But that's my analogy, yo. I'm telling you, like, the Niners, you know, even the Malik Mustafa pick, they went and got a safety that could tackle. They went and got a safety. Now, he struggles against man coverage, but guess what he does? He takes great angles and could tackle. And he's speedy, right? He's a little bit faster than a lot of these safeties that we've been drafting. A bit faster, right? And so you got a great angler when it comes to recognizing the play, whether it's a run, whether it's a pass, and you got a guy that's going to wrap and tackle. Now, if they force him to play man coverage on a receiver, or he's going to struggle. He struggled at the Senior Bowl. Like, I promise you he did. And it was irking me, but if that's the only area where he's struggling in, okay, that could be worked on. That's what practice is for. Like, you know what I mean? Corey, what's going on, man? Love you too, fam. And that's what he's working on. So I like it. I like all the picks. I'm going to be honest. And then when you get into the other fourth round picks, I mean, a lot of people don't understand the linebacker. The running back. A lot of people feel like Isaac Garrido, you know, again, fit piece, man. We like to play stretch. We like to stretch the zone on the offense. That's why Dominic Puni was the guy. And run blocking, he can get out there and stretch the zone. Remember Mike McGlinchey was really good at that? Kind of like the same thing, except for Mike was solidified as the tackle. He was your tackle. He was terrible in pass pro, but in run blocking, he was good. Dominic Puni is a way better pass protector than Mike McGlinchey, and he's a solid run blocker. So I think that the Niners are going to do damn well. You know what I mean? You know, in my opinion. Oscar says, a week after the draft, give me one player that was available. Dude, it's Jerzon Newton, man. I'm sorry. When I look at the depth chart, though, because I got the depth chart here, and I'm sitting here. Let me get it pulled up. When I look at this depth chart, and I'm like, damn, we got a lot of defensive tackles. I understand why they didn't go defensive tackle, because we have, what, 10? We have, hold up, I got this written down. Let me just share the damn screen. We'll focus on the roster a little bit later this week, but, you know, at the end of the day, the Niners, they got some players. It was Jerzon Newton for me, though, because I thought that the Niners would definitely go defensive tackle. He was right there. Like, he was right there. And you know how the Niners do. They might walk away from you, you know. They might ask you to take a pay cut, and not the rookie. And I would have been super comfortable if the Niners went to Javon Hargrave and said, "Hey, man, you mind taking a pay cut or whatever?" And he say no, and they be like, okay, well, we'll just release you just like they did Eric Armstead. So hold on 1 second because I'm looking on a different screen. So don't mind. We got 9 defensive tackles. Jerzon would have made the 10th. But we got freaking 11 wide receivers. So why not shore up the defensive tackle spot? So for me, Oscar, I saw Jerzon there, and I'm like, yes! And they said Ricky Pearsall. 49ers throwback. So... like for me, it would have been that or Cooper DeJean. He was there too. If you wanted to go best DB available, I thought Cooper would have been the dude. Especially when you went and you got Renardo Green in the second round, you could have just had Cooper DeJean at 31. Not saying Ricky Pearsall would have been there at 63, 64, wherever we picked. Not saying he would have been there, but I thought that they could have. What you call it, you know? Is this his last season, GAW or Gall? I thought he had one more year. I thought he played this year and it has one more year after that because didn't he restructure? I could be wrong. That's why I'm asking you. 49ers underscore throwback. Thank you for the super chat contribution. Shout out to you too, man. You put the show out today. You said bump Breezy. I'm not waiting on Breezy and his freaking graphic. I'm going to create my own. He created his own graphic. Man, I got to give this man a round of applause. I definitely do. I should have used your graphic. I meant to do it last night, and what had happened was while I was doing it, I fell asleep, and I woke up. I was like, oh, snip. All right, but he says Dallas and Green Bay are definitely primetime games. All right, let's talk about this. I like it. We're getting back to the schedule. I don't have Dallas as a primetime game, bro. Help me. I don't think Dallas is worthy of primetime football. They played week 4 last year. Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. Not saying that, but you could be right. I just don't think. Could this be a Sunday night game? This could be a Sunday night game, now that I think about it. I feel like Green Bay is a Monday night game, and I feel like the Dallas Cowboys could be a Sunday night game. You could be right. You could be spot on with this, and I could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? You could be spot on. Let me go through the schedule and let me see what my primetime games are. Bear with me because now that I think about it, I don't know if I gave my primetime games, but I'm going to do it anyway. I think looking at the schedule, well, hold on 1 second. Looking at the schedule, wow. First of all, Seattle is going to be a primetime game because you know how it comes down to Thanksgiving. I just think that the Niners get the Seahawks either around Thanksgiving or around Christmas. Now, I'm going to go with 5 primetime games. Happy Thanksgiving, J.D. Durham. I was just talking about Thanksgiving, and you just hit me with the happy Thanksgiving. I feel like the 49ers are going to play the Seahawks either around one of those two holidays. It's going to be a Thursday night game. For some reason, that's been it. That's been the Thursday night game. I think they actually play the Rams early. I think they end the season with Chicago. So remember last year we played the Seahawks kind of like week 12 and then week like 14 or some crap, 15 or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, so don't mind me. I think that's going to be the Rams this year. I think we play the Cardinals relatively early and then play them at the end of the season. No prime time. But I think they like the Seahawks 49ers Thanksgiving numbers. I think that stays there. Ty says Dallas would be prime time just because of the Cowboy. What Cowboy hype? I'm curious to know what the hell Cowboy hype you talking about, because the last time we played the Dallas Cowboys, and I just want to remind you, they're coming back to Santa Clara. The last time we played them, that should have deaded all the hype. Don't believe. Don't believe the hype. I just don't think anybody believes the hype of Dallas Cowboys anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets game is somewhat prime time. You dig? You get Aaron Rodgers here. Well, they're here. Yeah, I'm sorry. For a second, I thought he played for Green Bay. But you get Aaron Rodgers. Here's the cool thing, because Ty talked about this earlier. Like, we own him. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers could beat the 49ers, period. I don't care what team he play on. Like, you know what I mean? But I think Green Bay is going to be a Monday night game. I think Buffalo is going to be a Monday or Sunday night game. I wouldn't be surprised if we get, I don't know, will we get two AFC East primetime games? The Chiefs game won't be a primetime game. It'll be a 4:15 game like it was the year my channel got hacked. I don't think Minnesota deserves a primetime game. They don't even have a quarterback. And you got to look at that, guys. You got to look at that. I don't think Minnesota has the quarterback, even though I would love to see my boy JJ. I might have to go to that game. Y'all know. Yeah. Y'all know. I'm sorry. I love my Michigan players. But, that's going to be tough. I got five prime times. Here we go. Seattle. Why do I feel like the Lions deserve to be a primetime game? That's just me? Only me? Kansas City won't be primetime. I do understand what you're talking about with the hype, though, Ty. I understand it. Jerry Jones will pay for that to be primetime. He didn't pay for it last year, though, because they got their ass whipped at 4:15 Pacific, 5:15, whatever the time was last year. Was that a primetime game last year? I can't remember. I remember being, that's when I shot the music video. I can't wait to do that again. We're going to re-release the video same week. We're going to bump that up. Faithful to the Bay, F Dallas. Yes. Seattle, obviously. Green Bay's got to be primetime. Jordan Love and that team, primetime. So I got Green Bay, Miami, Buffalo, Seattle, and that, wait a minute. And now those are all road games. I got to mix this up. Maybe the Seattle home game will be prime time and not the away game. So that'll be one home. So I think we get two homes, three roads, five. It was 8:15. Okay, I know it was late in the afternoon. So it was prime time last time. My bad. All right. You might be right. You may be right. Ooh! Oh, Oscar, now we talking. Thanksgiving, the 49ers will play that early game. No, because aren't the Lions usually home for Thanksgiving? And aren't the Cowboys usually home for Thanksgiving? Help me out. Aren't the Cowboys and the Lions usually home on Thanksgiving? I'm with you, Strawberry. This is a Thursday night game. I just don't know if it's going to be around that Thanksgiving or Christmas time. It's going to be around one of them holidays, like the Thursday before one of them holidays. So if the Cowboys and the Lions are home on Thanksgiving, we won't play them on Thanksgiving because those are home games for us. So unfortunately, that was a good thought, though. That was a good thought. I was digging that. I was digging that. I didn't know that they have. No, it can't be. It can't be because we at home. I think they play at home on Thanksgiving. I think that's how the NFL has it set up, bro. So I don't think we could play those dudes on Thanksgiving. Now Christmas. So Christmas. Wait a minute. Christmas is on a Tuesday this year. So we talk about the Sunday or the Monday before Christmas, right? So it won't be Christmas game this year, I don't think. Now the reason why it was a Christmas games last year. Because it was on Monday night. So this is going to be interesting to see. I got five primes. I'm going Seattle at home. I'm going. Motherfrick is going to make me choose Dallas. I'm going to go Dallas because I didn't realize it was a primetime game last year. My bad. You know why? Because I was out on the West Coast and it was still daytime. That's why. I didn't realize it was prime time last year. My bad. This is a fact. They could care two flying cares about players' health. I think five primetime games is what I think the Niners are going to get. Has there been a team with six primetime games? Because I feel like that would be totally the max. Like I don't remember off the top of my head, but I know it wasn't the 49ers. Now, if something gets flexed a little bit later on in the year, that's different. but it takes a lot of work to flex in a game. But I got, okay, home primes. Here we go. I'm going to do it one more time. Am I the only one that wants to see Chicago as a primetime game? Is it just me? Give me Caleb. Give me that Chicago. Matter of fact, I'm still mad I went to Chicago and we got beat that year. Make Chicago a primetime game for me. Make that a Monday night football game. You know what? Bam. Here we go. Primetime. Seattle, home. Chicago, home. Dallas, home. That's three. Somebody going to make me pick six. They going to make me go with six. Damn you. Damn you. You're going to make me go with six. All right. On the road, I got Green Bay and I got Buffalo. I'm sticking with my I want to throw Miami in there, but I'm going to stick with my five. Miami going to be a 1 p.m. game. I don't think they're going to give us no Sunday night game for that one. All right, so I'm sticking with five. My bad. I'm sticking with five. Travis King, what's going on, Playboy? Man, it's good to see you from you. Thank you for the Super Chat contribution. He says, Niners will have tied most primetime games this season. So I have to ask you this question. Will the number tied be five or will it be six? Because it ain't going to be four. If you guys picked, like, you know, four, I think the Niners have proved that they deserve to be on television. I feel like someone has six, too, Steve. I really do, bro. I just can't remember. So, all right, Ronnie's saying six. Hold up. You're not going to put this. You can go put this on me, Ricky Bobby. Hold up. You trying to say every time I go to a game, it rains? That's what you're trying to say? Shout out to Residency, too, man. Go ahead and check that out. Use the promo code SFBreezy. That's what you're trying to say? Every time I go to a game, it rains? Let's see. I'm going to go do my homework because I don't know off the top of my head. I do know it rained in that Chicago game. And I think it rained when we played the Dolphins. Nah, I don't remember it raining when we played the Dolphins at home. Nah, it didn't rain. So it can't be every time. But you know what? Hey, who knows? Who knows what happens? I'm going with five primes. If you're going with six primes and you get it, you the man. I wish I could. That's dope. Six primetime games for the 49ers. That would be freaking phenomenal. All right, let's end the show with the poll question. Let's have some fun. Who do you think will be the 49ers' toughest competition in 2024? And we're talking about division, right? We're talking about the division. All right, NFC West, AFC East, NFC North, or AFC West. And I just want to remind everybody that's voting. The voting is still open. Yeah, I like to get to 100 votes, but, you know, we about 22 off from 100 votes. So if you didn't vote, make sure you go vote, okay? Hear me out. I just want to put some context in this just so that y'all know. I'm going to remind you in the NFC West, y'all just told me, because right now the NFC West is winning with 38%. So you're telling me that the Rams, the Lambs, not the same team, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Seahawks are going to be tough. I could dig it. The AFC East are the Jets, the Patriots, sorry. I just watched the Tom Brady thing, and I just can't get all the Patriots stuff out of my head. The Patriots, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills, 23% right there so far. The NFC North, you got Chicago, you got the Lions, they be lying. You got the Vikings, and you got the Packers, 25%. Right now, they in kind of like second place. And in the AFC West, we play one team in the AFC West. The only team the San Francisco 49ers can't beat. They can't beat this team. And they got 14%. So that means to tell me, you out there that is voting, okay, are saying that the 49ers are going to beat the Chiefs. I mean, 14% of you are saying that they aren't. But that's the rest of y'all that's not voting for the Chiefs are saying we about to whip they. I could dig it. I just ain't seen it yet, ever. Not under Kyle Shanahan. He like 0-50. And we only played him like three times. Lost to him twice in the Super Bowl. Lost to him twice. Once when Jimmy got hurt and then lost to him. Did Jimmy get hurt the second time too? Damn. I remember that was Christian McCaffrey's first game, and I remember as the day my channel got hacked. I'm just curious to know how y'all feel. You know what? Bless you, Cynthia. She says, we have to beat him at some point. We do. We absolutely do. I don't care if we lose to them in the regular season. I will put that out there. But as long as we beat them, if they ever make it back to the Super Bowl, and we beat them in the game that counts, like, that's the only thing that matters. So the reason why I said that, though, Sin, is because for some reason, Kyle doesn't give two flying about these AFC teams. Like, I don't think he cares. Like, if the Niners lose games, it's going to be to all AFC teams. Maybe one NFC team. Maybe one. Kind of like last year. We lost to two NFC teams last year, right? We lost to the Rams, and we lost to the Vikings. And we only lost to the Rams because it was the last game of the season. I mean, I'm just saying, you're right. To go back to your point, we do have to beat them. At some point, we have to beat them, you know. But this is going to be fun. Like, a lot of people say the AFC West is not going to be tough. We only play one team, though. We just play the Chiefs. Unfortunately, we get the best team in the division, and that's the Chiefs. But I think, you know what? I'm going to keep it a buck. Don't sleep on that AFC East. Don't sleep on them. I see you, Jack, saying we need to beat the Chiefs. Yeah, we do. We do need to beat them. But you ever heard that phrase that, you know, this they may just have our number? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Kyle in a regular season game against this team is going to show his hand, because he knows there's a possibility of seeing him again. Now, if we beat him with the hand that he's dealt with, cool. Depending on the schedule, like Kali says, listen, everything depends on when we play these teams. Shout out to Kali out there. When we play these teams, everything depends on the timing. Because don't forget, it get cold there too, you know. So it all depends on when we play these guys. But they're coming to us. And so at the end of the day, you know, I hope we get them early, though. Because usually early, now, hear me out. We get them early, we bust their ass. We get them kind of like around midseason where they start to get in the stride. It's going to be a tough game. You get them weeks 1 through 5, they getting beat. Hands down. They ain't beating us. Why? Niners start off hot. Chiefs start off slow. That's just how it is. It's how it's been. It's how it's going to be. So weeks 1 through 5, we whipping their tail. Pardon my French. Sorry to the kids that are watching. We whipping their tail. You get them weeks, I'd say 7, 8, 9, 10 to the end. It's going to be tough. Let me know what y'all think about that theory. Guys, you've been a really cool crowd. Round of applause, everybody out there. To everybody that gave Super Chat contributions, one more time, air horn to you, man. I appreciate you. Shout out to the Breezy Bunch crew, too, as well. Those that are subscribed to the monthly membership, I appreciate you guys out there as well. What a great show. What a fun show. I'm excited to talk about this mini camp that's going to be coming up. So the next episode, hopefully, we'll break that down. The BAM show will be here at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We may be switching things up a little bit, and I'll explain that later on as far as we are concerned, because there's some things that are going on with YouTube and what we're trying to do together and simulcasting. So we may be switching things up. But I do appreciate the love, the support, and the faithful contributions, man. You guys rock. You guys deserve the real MVPs out there. That's why I'm here. Eddie G and the B-Dogs, what's going on? My email is the Wayne Breezy, B-R-E-E-Z-I-E, @gmail.com. Again, let me see if I got it here. There it is right there. Boom. The Wayne Breezy @gmail.com. All right. Check that out. And again, don't forget to subscribe to the Patreon for that exclusive content where I'll be breaking stuff down. You don't want to miss out on that. And if you're not following me on all the social medias, make sure you do that. We will be back this week. Again, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, daily, the BAM show. I'm excited because Mike and I are going to be talking more about the NFC West, I believe, on today's episode. So we'll be having some fun with that. Again, the poll, shout out to everybody that participated in the poll. You guys had said that the NFC West is going to be the toughest competition. That is interesting as yes. I never thought that y'all thought that the NFC West was going to be a problem. Maybe the theory because it's two games. Okay, Maybe that's the theory behind y'all reasoning. I got you. Maybe that's the theory behind y'all reasoning. You know what I'm saying? Now, again, we get the Chiefs early, we bust their ass. Hands down. I ain't worried about it. I don't know if we'll get them weeks 1-5. If we could open up with them week 1, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, because we can shabak, and I guarantee you we'll beat them. They will be trying to figure themselves out. The Niners are figured out. I think the Niners have their identity. They know what they want to do. They run the ball very well. They pretty much win week 1s in the NFL as well. So I'm going to be excited to see that. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I had them Stacey points, them Stacey Adams shoes too, to match the suit, dog. That was me 100% all day, every day. And if you guys don't know what wearing fitted clothes is like, man, go treat yourself to getting fitted to your body type. You know what I'm saying? Where it's custom. It's going to cost you a little penny. But when it's custom fit to fit your body type, man, the clothes fit well. And when I look at the 49ers 2024 draft, man, they fit their team to the T. That's how I got it. That's how I break it down. All right, man. Love y'all. Stay up. Stay faithful. Always keep it nitty gritty. Until the next time, we out. Peace.
I be sipping gold bar whiskey on the rocks, and a 24 karat gold on a watch. My 7-1 Chevy be tipping nonstop, sounding like Trent Williams on the block. So you know we can't stop, we be banging through your speakers. Wayne Breezy on the filter in the bleachers. You can tune into my show and I'm a teacher. Wayne Breezy, the phone.